Hello, this is Michael Zuber, and I wanted to thank you for choosing to spend a little time with One Rental at a Time. My life's mission is to help investors close 1 million rental properties. In order to tackle this crazy goal, I will need your help. If you like this episode or any of the content we produce, please share it on social media. If you get one of my books or perhaps one of our 500 cards, please take a selfie and tag One Rental at a Time. Now on with the show.
Something I hear all the time in the real estate era, and I'm sure Bo hears about small businesses, is people just want to partner up. Maybe somebody's got the money and somebody's got the time. Maybe somebody sees comfort in doing it together. But boy, oh boy, there are lots of failed partnerships out there. So I thought I should have a conversation with Bo about what does it take to find the right partner? Because when it works, it's magical. But when it doesn't, it's often a disaster. Bo, how you doing, man?
I am doing very well. Very well. Can't complain.
Well, you know what, folks? We should all be congratulating Bo and his lovely wife. They just celebrated a new addition yesterday. Oh, 2 days ago. Little Bo, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it was quite the experience. But I was like talking to the nurse and like, here's a note. Everywhere you go, you got to tell people what you do. So I was talking to the nurse, you know, we're doing the labor.
Yeah. Baby's being born and you're trying to close somebody.
I'm like, have you thought about owning a franchise? And she's like, yeah, actually it's a good idea. Like, you know, and she's a nurse and we talked about the residential.
Funny, well, the wife's giving birth, trying to close a nurse on a franchise. Bo, I love you. Never change.
Right. That's right.
There you go. Well, let's get to the topic at hand. What does it take to have, like, you and I have seen many a partnership blow up, but let's talk about what it takes to find a good one and have better than 50-50 chance of it working out. What are some things you think are key?
I think expectations right off the bat need to be in writing. You need to get an attorney to draft up your operating agreement. I see it time and time again that, you know, whether it's a business ownership or real estate investing, people are putting money into deals and losing their money. I actually had a news reporter yesterday reach out because I was on a TV show like a long time ago on a house flipping show. And one of the guys got nailed for, I guess, taking investors' money. I don't know the particulars because I don't pay attention to that kind of stuff, but they wanted to get some comments and stuff. And they're like, what are best practices? And then I was like, well, you know, best practices really for partnerships. Look, you need to know what you're getting into. You're going to think about the pain points. You got to write it all down because everybody thinks like, oh, well, it's my best friend. I don't need it in writing. Look, everything
yes,
needs to be
in
writing. There's got to be in writing. Like, look, like your best friend. I've had a deal. I could talk about this. This is relevant. I did a joint venture deal on a house flip. And the expectations were that the gentleman was going to oversee the construction and do the project management. My friend, he's a really good friend of mine, but he did a lousy job. The budget doubled. It went from being a $75,000 budget to $150,000. We lost money on the deal.
Yeah, you did.
And and I look back and like I just didn't have the right expectations. He didn't have, and I'm not blaming him. It was just as much as my fault. And it definitely put a lot of friction. We're good friends today, but I would say for a few months, we weren't really talking that much because it was just a bad circumstance. And I do not blame him. I would blame myself more.
Extreme ownership is key at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, listen, there's going to be things that come up in partnerships. I think just really sitting down and laying out the expectations. Because I think you can go farther with a partner. A lot of times we choose not to because we don't want to have the stress of having to appease the partner. Because what if it doesn't work out right? Yeah. And as investors, we go out and we raise private money. And they're going to, you know, they could be debt or they could be equity in this deal. Yep. It's easier for me. I always, when I was flipping houses, I would always usually take debt as opposed to equity. But you gotta put it in writing. And so looking at it from the business perspective, like I'll invest in businesses and I'll come in owning less than 20%, utilize the SBA for the operator who's going to sign the guarantee. But the expectation is I'm a money partner. I expect transparency. You're going to run the day to day. I'm really not going to be involved. The only thing that's going to be involved in the deal is my 50 grand or whatever. And yeah. I want to get on weekly, monthly calls, but that all needs to be laid out in advance. What are you going to make? Yeah. Because you're the operator, we're going to cake in a salary for you in this. Those expectations, who's going to do the bookkeeping, all this stuff is so crucial.
Yeah, the first thing you brought up is exactly where I went. You got to get an attorney involved. No handshake agreements, no back of a napkin. You got to have an independent third party to kind of make sure everything is put together. And I'll even go one step further. I think you got to go into this it's going to end in a divorce. So I would even have the hard conversation. Okay, what happens if we break up? I remember there was a partnership. I bought from a partnership. I guess I'll tell the story. So it was an apartment building. It was an 18-unit apartment building. They bought it together, I think in the 80s. They refinanced it in early 2000. And it's 2000, I think it's 2009, 2010. And unfortunately, one of the partners died. Their share transitioned to his wife. Wife got remarried and suddenly was becoming difficult to work with. And in this particular instance, the owner of the property just wanted out. He was clearly a don't wanter, not because the property was bad, because he just wanted to cut off any connection with this toxic individual. His words, not mine. So they sold it at a stupid price because the woman just wanted money and the guy couldn't get market. Because again, if you guys don't remember what was happening in 2010, it was ugly. So Olivia and I got a property for roughly half off because of, again, this partnership worked out great until it didn't. So again, I would tell you to go into a partnership and have clear expectations about how to dissolve it. That is something that I learned. And again, I had lunch with the guy, Olivia and I had lunch with him. We talked about it. He's like, I got to get away from this person. And this is the last thing we own together. And, I can't get rid of her fast enough. So I would tell people to think about the end and put it in writing. How do we go out? Do I cash you out? Do I cash out? Do we do a third party appraisal? You know, highest bid wins, talk about it, have that conversation.
Yeah, no, that's such a good point, because I think if the expectations are in writing, then you go to the agreement, it's been signed, and there's no variables. Like I see it a lot in the house flipping world. When I was doing more flips, I'd get a hard money loan from an institutional fund, and then I'd borrow like 90% from the fund and 100% of repair costs or 85%. And then I'd bring in a gap lender or a gap equity partner. And then they would come in with the rest of the down payment and holding costs. So I mm-hmm. would do 100% deals for myself because I had a couple going. I didn't have that much cash. Mm-hmm. But the expectations needed to be, okay, what's the ARV? What happens yeah. when the construction budget goes over the $100,000?
Who's responsible? Yep.
Right. And so if that's all laid out, the risk factors of the partnership going bad, and then the variables are that, hey, the deal went over and now we had to go to plan B. And it didn't sell for as much as we thought.
Yeah.
A lot of people aren't doing this kind of stuff. And I think that's where you're going to get these huge losses. And people like, I've seen people like put, I remember I, years and years ago, I warned this lady. I said, don't do a deal with this guy. I said, yeah. do not do it. I think she put $700,000 with the guy afterwards, lost all of it. I don't know what happened. I told her specifically, do not do. And so I don't know why people do things like that. But if you're watching this episode, when you're going into deals, just make sure you do your due diligence on your partner. You have it in writing. You think about all the variables. You do the work up front so you don't pay the price at the end. And that's anything in business structuring, because that's what you like. We have to be very clear on our expectations. Like, for example, if like we got into vending, right? You and I mm-hmm. said, hey, let's go buy 8 machines. We're going to mm-hmm. all put up, 30 grand, you put up 50 grand or whatever that it came out to be. And now who's responsible for filling machines? Who's doing this? Doing that, setting that all up. So like if something starts failing, instead of us getting pissed off at each other, we just go to our playbook. It's a playbook.
Yep.
And we say, okay, Mike, like you're right. Like, I am slacking here. It's my responsibility. I put it in writing and there's no question about it. And then this way our friendship stays intact. And look, if something goes wrong and it's not, it's a variable of what's out there. Hey, look, we tried our best. This is what happened. And here's how we need to fix it going forward. And then adjust the agreement between you. So going forward, any problems that arise. If you do that, I think partnerships could be amazing. Because look, if you don't have a lot of money, you need a money partner. And so I used to do deals with when I had no money coming out of the 07 recession. And I used other people's money. And, you know, and it's always protect the investor capital. Like if you ever lend me money, if I find a deal here in Vegas, this is a true story. And I said, Zuber, hey, I need $100,000 on this deal. You're going to have a second lien on the property or the business, whatever the deal is. Right. Look, if that deal didn't work out and you were debt, like even if I lost my shirt, I'm making you whole. You just have to do that kind of stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The other thing I would tell you, if you're really thinking about doing a partnership, is the best partnerships that I have seen, the parties are different. What do I mean by that? Like, one of you is outgoing marketing and the other one's the books. Like, why do I think Olivia and I have worked for 25 years when we talk about our real estate portfolio? I was finding deals to securing capital. She was running the business. And we talked every Friday. We had a date night where we talked about what we're seeing, right? So communication was consistent. Bad news doesn't get good, you know, get better with age. You got to talk about it soon as something's going on. You got to find partners that are, you got to be stronger together. Like I remember one time, two sales guys on my team got together to go try something and they were exactly the same person. So they basically focused on one part and they ignored everything else because they just weren't good at it. They just didn't care. But boy, this part of the business was okay. This other part, not so much. Guess what? If you don't take care of the whole thing, it blows up eventually. So I would tell you, when you're looking for partners, make sure they're strong where you're weak would be my big advice.
I have a question for you, actually. Mm-hmm. So my wife is not entrepreneurial at all, but and you know, when you guys linked up, you were both business savvy, I would say. So what would your advice be? Because I think it's important. You know, I don't need my wife to be a total like crazy entrepreneur wanting to go to events and always get into like more ventures, but I do think the importance of a partnership in marriage especially can go so much further if you have share the vision. So like if you didn't have an Olivia in your life, how do you and you married somebody that wasn't an Olivia, what are you going to do?
One thing that worked for us and I think could work for you in your situation is I would clearly articulate what I called a date night. It was sushi. We had sushi every Friday for 10 years probably. I would schedule with her, honey, we need to have a dinner out where I could just unload on everything that happened during the week, good and bad, right? Because she needs to see it. She's going to see you working during the week, good days, bad days, all of that. I would strongly recommend having a weekly conversation with your significant other just to share the good and the bad. And what you'll see happen over time is they'll start picking up on things and asking you more questions. And oh, by the way, I'd put $100 on this. Within a year, she will shock you and she will get more interested. Right. I think a lot of folks that are kind of like not entrepreneurial, it's just because they've never been exposed to it, myself included. I never thought about being an entrepreneur, but you can look at what I've done the last 5 years as entrepreneurship. Still doesn't feel right, but I certainly can see that. So I would tell you, you know, day one, honey, every Friday, 6 o'clock, you and I are going to go do something and I'm going to tell you what happened in my business. And you just stick to that. By the end of the year, I put $100 on it that she will be more entrepreneur because it's just repetition. So many people, Bo, aren't exposed to it. So we don't know what it is. So that's what I would do in a big way.
Yeah. And I like sushi. So, oh, by the way, I'm going to give you and Olivia a tip here.
Okay.
On Stephanie in Henderson, there is a sushi restaurant and it's a little hole in the wall, but it's the best sushi that I found in all of Las Vegas. It's called Tokyo Boys.
Tokyo Boys. Tokyo Boys. I will tell Olivia. Tokyo Boys. Stephanie and Henderson. Okay.
Yeah, it's off Stephanie. Yep. Tokyo Boys. You need to eat there. It's good.
All right, we may go there today. So what do you think about this? We partnerships again. They can work. You can be stronger together. 1 + 1 has to equal 10. Talk about it up front. Talk about the bad stuff. Communicate. The other thing I would tell folks in a partnership is again, kind of to your point earlier, or my point earlier, is over communicate. Bad news doesn't get better with age. Don't hide things. Ask questions. Communicate. I would tell you to over communicate in the first 6 months until you both get your rhythm. Because again, partnerships can work, but man, they could be nasty too.
Totally. Yeah. And that's a good topic for everybody. You can go further with a partner, but you can also get sunk if you don't do it right.
There you go. Bo, if somebody wanted to talk to you about what is going on in small business, want to get creative, want to figure out how to get some small business lending, how do they do that?
Go to onerentalmeeting.com.
There you go. Onerentalmeeting.com. He bought a URL just for you guys. Onerentalmeeting.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you.